Good morning and welcome to Valley of Fire State Park outside of Las Vegas. Went driving out at sunrise this morning. And I have to confess that I knew I didn't have cell signal out here. And I even opened up PoleGab before I left to make sure that I had it on my phone. And now my phone says can't establish connection. I'm like, doggone it. So now I'm not going to be able to read your questions word for word. But I did look at a couple few of the questions. And so I'm going to paraphrase the top voted questions. One of the top voted questions was, I have an insert that takes forever, but when I just do the select portion of it, it runs nearly instantaneously. So there are a couple of different causes for this. One cause can be, even though you say it runs nearly instantaneously, what it could be is just that some of the rows start coming back instantaneously. And so in your mind, the query has completed. I've seen this with queries that bring back millions of rows, and people go, oh, well, clearly the query's working, I can just stop it here. But when you're doing an insert, the whole entire insert has to absolutely finish. You don't get like partial progress reports. So that's one possible cause. Another possible cause can be wherever you're writing the data to. I believe that you said you were writing it to a temp table, in which case you could also be under pressure on TempDB on the server itself. But the thing that I would try is, or that I would start with, is take out everything in the list of columns that you're inserting from and just go select count star, count the number of rows that are going to come back. And then do the same thing with an insert. Just have it insert a count star of the number of rows that are going to come back. And that may also get you a lead on whether or not it's a problem with writing the output or whether it's too many columns or causing different query plans, whatever. Finally, last thing that I would say on that one is make sure to compare the execution plans. Get the estimated execution plans between the two, and they may be wildly different. For example, the insert may only be going single-threaded, whereas opposed to the select may be going multi-threaded. One of the next highest voted ones, of course I'm not going to remember in order, but one of the next highest voted ones was, Brent, did you ever have to deal with boredom on the job? So when I was in control of my destiny, no. Like when I was a full-time employee and I reported to someone inside the same company that I worked for, I never had boredom as a problem because any time that I got bored, I would simply go to my manager and say, okay, what is it that you need to have done in your department in order to get you a raise? Like, what do you need from the rest of us that is stopping you from getting a raise? And whenever you can make sure that your boss gets a raise, they will generally make sure that you're taken care of as well. Yeah, sure, there are some slimy bosses who are going to steal credit. But when you make it really clear that, look, my mission is to make you look good and is to help you succeed, then that boss will generally take care of you along the way. So my boss always had things that he needed to get done, or my manager needed to get done, and so would always focus on those things. When I wasn't in control of my destiny, when I worked as a consultant or a contractor for someone else, including the work that I do now, sometimes I'll get hired in by a company as a consultant or a long-term contractor, I will absolutely get bored. Like, oh, I've climbed this hill before. I know how to do this. This isn't challenging for me. And so the way that I keep myself motivated is I go, okay, this is relatively easy money. You have to have a mix of that. You have to have a mix of easy money and of challenges. Because if all you have is easy money, then odds are your skills are vegetating too as well. If all you have is challenges all the time, then you're going to get burned out because it'll feel like you're overwhelmed. You have too much pressure from all kinds of things. Another highly voted question was, have you read the Management Studio changelog or release notes? And is there anything that gets you excited in Management Studio's release notes? No, not at all. Management Studio tends to be, these days, they're just trying to make sure that it stays current with all of the new features they add to SQL Server, Azure Managed Instances, the new availability groups that will fail back and forth on premises and up to managed instances. That kind of thing doesn't really get me excited because they're doing the bare minimum. I don't want to say, they're really doing the bare minimum that they have to do in order to make that work. Yet there have been things that I noticed in the release notes for Azure Data Studio that actually got me excited. Microsoft continued to invest in making execution plans better. Execution plans were like barely enough in Azure Data Studio once they first came out. And now it looks like they're better. I'm torn about whether or not I start teaching with Azure Data Studio because I really want to use notebooks. But Azure Data Studio notebooks still don't have execution plan support at all, like none. So that doesn't really work for me, given that most of what I teach is performance tuning. Another highly rated question was, has TraceFlag 1800, and yes, I memorized that, has TraceFlag 1800 ever made a difference with you with log shipping? I don't even know what TraceFlag 1800 is. I don't even know if it's a real TraceFlag. So no, that isn't something that has ever hit my radar at all. Generally speaking, there's only been a couple of TraceFlags that I've ever gotten into. But if you want to learn more about TraceFlags, search for K Taranov. K-T-A-R-A-N-O-V, K-Taranov trace flags. And Constantine's got a GitHub repository with a list of all the known trace flags out there, both supported and unsupported. Do I remember any others? Someone said, so I'm looking at moving to SQL Server 2019 or 2022, and I'm looking at changing from database mirroring to something else. They said, what's the reason? And because mirroring's working for them in standard edition, it sounded like. Is there anything that I should think about moving to enterprise edition in order to get past mirroring and use always on availability groups? Well, just so you're aware, because it wasn't clear by your question, standard edition's always on availability groups in 2019, 2022 is just as capable as database mirroring. Now, it is one heck of a lot more complex. There are a whole lot more moving parts with always-on availability groups. So it's not like I would say you should stop using mirroring and start using AGs if you're only on standard edition. It's not like it's really that much more powerful. It's still one database per availability group. Yes, it has automatic page repair, but so does database mirroring. If you're going to step up to enterprise edition, that's freaking $7,000 a core. So it should be something that you're telling me you need it, not trying to get me to sell it to you. Otherwise, you look like you're waving around a briefcase of cash, and let's be realistic, database administrators don't have a briefcase full of cash. The selling points of always-on availability groups in enterprise is that you can have multiple replicas, and they can be readable, but then you also have to license those replicas if you're going to read from them. The cool thing about enterprise having multiple replicas is that you can have two replicas sitting next to each other, a primary and a secondary, in your main data center, and then you can have yet another availability group replica in another data center for disaster recovery. So you do automatic failover between the two in your primary and manual failover with async replication over to your DR secondary. So it becomes a business question where I'll just lay out with the business. Ooh, I wonder if I got bit by something there. Lay out with the business and go, hey, oh, there's ants there. Oh, I probably shouldn't sit around there too long because that's probably what bit me. Hey, do you want do you need both high availability and disaster recovery? And is there something about log shipping that's insufficient for our needs? Because I'm a huge raving fan of log shipping for disaster recovery. Works in any version, works in any edition, really easy to manage. It's been around since the dawn of time, much like these rocks here in Valley of Fire State Park. Is there any others? I know there was one other one. I know there are a bunch, but now I'm trying to think if there's any others that really jumped out at me. One of them was, and I'm going to paraphrase, of course, one of them was, I have a whole, my friend of mine is an application developer, and at his company, there is a whole team of database administrators, most of which he doesn't get along with, except for one. What should he do to be more likable? And I would just go pick up the book, like How to Win Friends and Influence People. Because the same problem that I don't know if it's if your friend grates on people's nerves. I don't know if he's doing terrible things. And that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, will get you started on a lifelong journey of how can I be easier to get along with the people around me. It's funny for me to say, given that I am notoriously hard to get along with in certain circles. But it'll help you ease into that, and it'll pay dividends for you for the rest of your life in all of the circles that you're in, not just the database administrators. Because if you say that only one person out of an entire team likes you, I don't think that's a technical thing. I think that's a people thing. And it may be that the company hired a bunch of jerks for database administrators, but that's always going to be the case in any department that you ever go to. I mean, you go to any cocktail party or networking event and ask people what they think of their coworkers, and after you get a few drinks into them, they're gonna be like, well, there's this one team at the office and they're terrible. You know, just it holds true whether you're an accountant, an artist, a wedding planner, a photographer, whatever. Well, that is all I can remember. I will do another one of these office hours, actually, when I get back in cell phone signal. Right now, I am going to go hop back in the car. I'll show you what I'm out here driving around in today. So I decided to take the Ferrari out for a spin, and so I'm driving this thing around out through Valley of Fire State Park. Valley of Fire is one of my favorite places, absolutely phenomenal place for driving, and it was really nice first thing in the morning because the air conditioning in this thing is actually not the greatest, so it's much more fun to drive around with the top off when it's nice enough outside. It's 79 degrees here Fahrenheit, for those of you who are Americans or know our terrible measuring systems. And it is, 6:30 in the morning. So that gives you a rough idea how hot it gets, how quick out here in the desert. I believe it's supposed to be 110 today, 110 Fahrenheit today, I believe. So stay safe out there, and adios. I will see y'all at the next office hours. Talk to you soon.